The Last Airman, Part 2. By Audrey's Daughter. At Chelsfield, local folk were well aware that a hurricane had plunged from the sky above them on that sun-kissed Sunday afternoon of the 1st of September during an intense and frightening period of activity that shook the village. One witness reported seeing the pilot slumped forward over his controls in the cockpit as the aircraft dived to earth, its wings shearing off and debris scattering when the fuselage buried itself with unimaginable force and a thunderous crash in a crater of chalky soil in an orchard at the corner of George Whitehead's field near the Warren Road Court Road crossroads. ARP wardens stationed nearby logged the tragedy in just a few sparse words. 14.10, between Warren Road and Court Road opposite Court Lodge Farm, plane on fire. British plane crashed. Over the previous 5 minutes, they had already recorded another 5 incidents. 2 high explosive bombs fell at Horsthead Road, Lane, killing 1 cow, wounding another, and causing damage to woodlands. 2 more HE bombs behind Chelsfield House damaged the property and wrecked an old farm building. 3 HEs between Chelsfield Lane and Skibbs Lane left a dog and calf dead and another calf wounded. 2 landed between Chelsfield Lane and Court Road. 4 exploded in an orchard northwest of the Warren Road Court Road junction. In the aftermath, Royal Artillery soldiers were posted to guard the site of the plane crash by day, but it was 3 weeks before a civilian salvage squad at Avenue Nichols and Co. in Brighton received curt instructions from the RAF. Collection Order, Hurricane L 2062. Chelsfield, N&W of Seven Oaks. Arthur Nichols, well used to grim jobs like this, knew what to do. He found the village constable at Chelsfield and was directed to the only place the policeman knew of on his patch where a hurricane had come down, George Whitehead's field. The RAW boys told Arthur and RAF team had cleared the fuselage 2 weeks before and had said they would come back for the engine. Arthur reported that he located L 2062 at the junction of the crossroads adjoining Court Road and a road called Highways, the highway. A propeller blade was embedded in the bottom of the crater, he wrote. The engine was still in the ground, a few pieces of smashed fuselage remained and his gang would deal with it all on the 23rd of September. When his crew duly began digging, they came across a flying boot with a foot still inside, and an unopened parachute. Then they exposed the pilot's body, and called the police. 3 constables, the village Bobby and 2 from Orpington, watched as the men dug further. Found 2 shillings and 11 pence halfpenny in coins, then took a cigarette case and a small wallet containing a photo of 2 women from the pilot's pocket. These they handed over to the policeman, who, Arthur reported next day, also took charge of the pilot's remains while the salvage gang filled in the crater. Astonishingly, nobody seems to have checked the hurricane's engine number or identified the dead pilot. The plane was presumed to be L-2062, as per the collection order. On 5 October the foot was buried at Star Lane Cemetery at St. Mary Cray in a Commonwealth War Graves Commission grave marked Unknown Airman. Shortly after the salvage operation, it has been suggested, more body parts were discovered during tidying up, or possibly were found by gypsies scouring the crash site for scrap metal. Certainly, parts of another unknown airman were interred in a CWGC grave at Star Lane on 12 October. No connection was made between the 2 finds at the time, however. Unfortunately, police records were destroyed long ago and burial registration details yield no clues. In fact, Hurricane L 2062 was indeed shot down in the area during the Battle of Britain action on 1 September. The pilot was flying Officer Brian Noble of 79 Squadron based at Biggin Hill, who bailed out wounded and landed in a water-filled pit on the Marley sand and gravel site at Riverhead, where Tesco and the Lakeside Place housing estate now stand. Badly burned, the 24-year-old pilot, former pupil of Emmanuel School, Battersea, was taken to Seven Oaks Hospital, underwent surgery and survived. RAF inspectors dispatched to look at Noble's machine, which had crashed near Broughton House at Dunton Green, noted the type of plane and its serial number for recovery purposes, but confused matters by identifying the place where it fell as Chelsfield, LNW of Sevenoaks. Nothing of this era came to light at the time, however, and thus the scene was set for the subsequent mix-up and bewildering chain of events that occurred 5 miles away. Sometime in the early 1970s, two enthusiasts from Halstead Aircraft Museum are believed to have done some excavation work at the site of the wreck, though this was never admitted. What, if anything, they found is shrouded in mystery. Despite denials, it has been suggested some items were taken away. The things rested until October 1992 when Mark Kirby, a member of the former Wealden Aviation Archaeology Group, conducted a dig at the crash site without a Ministry of Defence licence but with the consent of the landowner at Chelsfield and the family of Sergeant Hugh Ellis. He was also helped by information provided by Andy Saunders, an aviation researcher and author of several books on World War II mysteries with an impressive track record. Saunders had looked into Ellis's disappearance and uncovered puzzling discrepancies around the Chelsfield crash. The Wealden Group, eager to establish the facts about the hurricane buried in the orchard, identify the pilot if possible and discover where his body had been removed to, had been granted permission to excavate the site in 1980. But this was withdrawn soon afterwards with no explanation except that the mod considered there were overriding reasons why this site should not be subject to excavation. The Protection of Military Remains legislation of 1986 made it unlikely the go-ahead would ever be given again. Regardless, Kirby was determined to unearth some answers. On Saturday, the 24th of October 1992, in a biting wind entirely in keeping with one suggested derivation for the name Chelsfield, Chili Fields, excavation began in the presence of Sergeant Hugh Ellis's relatives, including his cousin Peter Mortimer, whose own investigations had convinced him of a link between Hugh and the Chelsfield crash. Proceeding carefully and respectfully, Kirby was able to retrieve a quantity of bones, part of a Mae West life jacket, a flying glove and an assortment of aircraft parts. Crucially, a section of the engine cowling delivered the vital clue. Stamped in one corner was P2673, the very number of the machine assigned to Sergeant John Hugh Mortimer Ellis at Croydon in 1940. Excavation was halted, the police were informed. A coroner's inquest on the 6th of July 1993 formally identified the remains and declared that John Hugh Mortimer Ellis had lost his life on active service as a result of enemy action. Mark Kirby was not prosecuted. Sadly, Hugh's father died in 1947 and his mother in 1951. They, and Hugh's heartbroken fiancée Peggy Owen, passed away without knowing the truth about his fate. On 1 October 1993, a funeral service was held for Hugh at the RAF Church in Uxbridge. His erstwhile commanding officer Peter Townsend, by then 79 years old, living in France and unable to attend, asked for flowers to be placed on the grave on his behalf. He spoke of a marvelous pilot with skill, courage and unfailing cheerfulness and specified flowers of blue for the sky, yellow for Hugh's hair, white for the flying overalls he always wore. After the service, Hugh's remains from Chelsfield were taken to Brookwood Military Cemetery in Surrey and interred in the RAF section in a CWGC grave with full military honours. The inscription reads, "One of the glorious few. Finally rested one." 10. 93 Dulcet decorum is pro patria mori, it is sweet and fitting to die for one's country. The two unknown airmen graves at St. Mary Cray were left undisturbed. The coroner ruled that Hugh's burnt flying glove, the piece of his Mae West life jacket and a valve from his Hurricane's engine found in the Chelsfield excavation should go to the Shoreham Aircraft Museum, where they are still on display. Nearly 15 years later, on Saturday the 17th of May 2008, Hugh's memorial stone at Chelsfield Green was dedicated in a moving service conducted in steady rain. It was as if the sky was crying for that golden youth whose life had ended so violently a few yards across the field 68 years before. By Patrick Helicar, for the Chelsfield and Farnborough Local History Groups, May 2020. Footnotes. I have to confess that my article is based largely on the work of others, rather than my own original research. Much of the information has come from books on RAF activities in World War II and, notably, finding the few, some outstanding mysteries of the Battle of Britain investigated and solved by Andy Saunders, published by Grub Street in 2013. Details were also gleaned from a variety of websites. To confirm more color in the overall picture, so to speak, I've relied on resources including the 1939 Register, the operations record books of RAF squadrons and 85 squadrons combat reports for 1940 held at the National Archives, plus records of wartime bombing incidents that occurred in the Chelsfield area and some personal memories. There are still a few elements of the story that I think need to be resolved, but exploring them may take a while. When we're allowed out again, if you haven't already been to the Shoreham Aircraft Museum, it's well worth a visit. It is dedicated to the airmen who fought in the skies over southern England during the Second World War and offers more than just mangled lumps of metal and bits of engines and armaments to look at. The hundreds of artifacts and documents, letters, photographs and eyewitness accounts exhibited there really do give a sense of how these courageous young men operated and what they endured. It's right on our doorstep, and you can get a nice cup of tea and a slice of homemade cake there too. Curator Jeff Nutkins tells me he is devastated that the coronavirus restrictions have curtailed openings and events the museum had planned to mark the 75th anniversary of D-Day. It would have been a big year with the Battle of Britain in focus too, he said. The museum was due to unveil the latest of its RAF Memorials Project stones on Friday the 24th of April opposite St. Peter's Church at Ilm, but due to the coronavirus situation this had to be postponed. That memorial remembers Flying Officer Malcolm Ravenhill, who lost his life on 30 September 1940. Close to us, you can find other memorial stones to some of the fallen few at Sparpenny Lane, Eansford, at Noah's Ark, Kemsing, and at Main Road, Sundridge. The museum's website is at www.shorehamaircraftmuseum.co.uk. Copyright Audrey's Daughter 2020.